passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
2-2 pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of the 90th Percentile Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce, alongside me with my co-host, Matt Pajak of Loading Sports. Matt, what's going on this week, man? How you been?
Living the dream, Jeff. Sun's coming out. It's feeling warm. A 75-degree day here in Colorado. Spring has sprung. Summer is around the corner. And you're getting rained out.
Yeah, today. But it's a you know, necessary spring shower. Feeding the grass, feeding the plants and the flowers and all that good stuff. Everything's actually in bloom here in New England. And, we've had a string of, like, 70-degree days. I think it was, like, 80 degrees or so at my practice on Thursday. Tuesday. I was, like, losing track of time here. Tuesday, I was out there in short sleeves, you know, kind of hot in my usual pants. I wear pants everywhere. Rarely see me in shorts unless I'm at the pool or inside my house. But anyway, I digress. Yeah, it's feeling good. You know, I'm ready for it. Ready for the Cape League to start up soon. Get a little mix of some college action, you know, get to those fields. Probably going to head down to FCL at some point in the next month or two. Yeah, it's exciting times, man. Baseball is in full spring, you know, full bore. Everything's going. So
yeah, you got my Huntington Beach guy, Nick Dumanil from Cal Baptist. Got to shout him out. He's had a hell of a spring. He's heading to Brewster. You have to make sure you get eyes on Frenchie Dooms.
Yeah, he has had a heck of a year. Yeah, now, is he draft eligible this year?
No.
No. When's he draft eligible?
Next year.
Next year. All right.
Yeah, this is his sophomore year. He only played a little bit last year as a freshman, and then he's broken out this year as a sophomore. And he's like a normal-aged kid. He's not like old or anything like that. So
sure.
He'll be one of the – you know, moving forward, he'll be one of the few guys that's actually only becoming draft eligible after his junior year.
And where did you say he's playing? Come into, you said Orleans?
Brewster, I think.
Brewster, okay. No, that makes sense. They had Castillo from, you know, power hitter, I think a lefty from Cal Baptist a couple years ago.
I think it tracks all the way back to, if I remember correctly, was Tyson Miller Cal Baptist?
Ah, dude, you are putting me on the spot here. I don't know if I know that one off the top of my head. I'll have to look it up, man. I'll tell you.
Tyson Miller, Cubs. Yeah, Cal Baptist.
He was Cal Baptist.
Yeah.
I'm on Baseball Cube and not Baseball Ref, so I can't see where he played.
If I remember correctly, he had a very nice summer in Brewster. 2015. There it is. Boom. 1.44 ERA, yeah, 25 innings, 29 punches.
That was a point where I wasn't at many Cape games.
Yeah, that's why we didn't meet back then. Because
we had babies at that point.
I was at a lot of Cape games back then, Jeff.
I had babies.
Anyway, Cal Baptist. I mean, who would have thought we'd be sitting here talking about Cal Baptist?
It kind of tracks for us, you know.
Yeah.
We give shouts out to the West Coast mid-majors on a regular basis.
Yeah, shout out to UC Irvine. Mid-major update for the people who still care. UC Irvine, sleeper for Omaha, dark horse. All right. That's going to be the West Coast school for Omaha. I don't know, Oregon State, maybe. I could see UC Irvine over Oregon State. going to Omaha, representing the West Coast. Just throwing that out there, throwing it out to the universe. Did you see, Jeff, this past weekend that Tulane dropped a hammer on ECU?
I didn't, actually. I've been kind of out on that.
The Tulane Green Wave. I think they swept them. Let me look real quick. Got to shout out my boy Colin Tuft. Kicked back from Virginia down at Tulane, leading the charge. Tulane, another nice mid-major program. Yeah, let's see. ECU, win, win, win. Wow. They got the sweep in extras on Sunday.
Wow.
You know, this is a program. They're 29-23. They just swept ECU. Huge sweep. They got swept by UC Irvine at home back in February.
Mm-hmm.
The wave is turning. I don't know. I thought that was going to come out better. Jackson Lynn, 12 home runs. He's from your neck of the woods. Colin Tuff, 9 home runs, doing his thing. Got 11 bags, leading the team. I don't know. Just saying. Yeah, we were talking off air before this about swagginess. There's a particular top prospect that doesn't have any, but it's hard not to be swaggy in that shade of green and the light blue. Tulane
represent New Orleans, you know.
Yeah, what is it, like a gull? They've got like a gull or something that's like their secondary. They got the wave and then they got the gull. I mean, it's pretty clean.
You know better than I do.
Yeah, I'm out here knowing things.
You are. You know,
Jeff, I'm knowing things. Hey, talent doesn't discriminate. As Jeff would type, talent doesn't disseminate. Left the R out there. Calling them out for it. That's the topic this week. I think it's an important topic, Jeff. The reason why this topic comes up is because I encounter this coming from a bunch of different directions at any given time where, you know, I may be interested in a player. You probably encounter this too. You're maybe interested in a player because of stuff you're seeing on the baseball data side. I may be interested in a player because I really like the athlete. And then you start asking people about them. And then, you know, everybody's got a reason to ding the kid. Unless you hit the one kid that everybody loves and is also talented, which is rare. It's quite rare that lines up, that it's the kid that everybody loves is also, you know, particularly talented. Jeff, you look all over the NBA, Major League Baseball, NFL, NHL, professional soccer on the global level, Olympic sports, whatever it is, talent doesn't discriminate and it drives people crazy. I mean, most of these people that are performing at the top of their sport, tennis, golf, pickleball, you can pick whatever sport it is, NASCAR, right? They're not people that you'd have your kids looking up to, right? And it's not always just that. You know, sometimes it's not necessarily like a double negative. I think a double negative is when it's like someone who's got like domestic violence issues that's also talented that gets to continue to play their sport, make millions of dollars. I think that's a little bit of a double negative. I think that there's kind of like a, oh, well, this kid, you know, grew up with a silver spoon in his mouth. That's not necessarily like a negative thing, right? It's not the kid's fault that he grew up that way, but sometimes he's the most talented kid, Jeff. And sometimes that pisses a lot of people off, right? All of that to say, we're here to talk about how talent doesn't discriminate and it drives people crazy.
Yeah. You know, I think there's a lot of things to unpack with that too, because there, as you said, there's a variety of sort of off the field components that come into it. There's other areas of just on the field play. I think that can bother people. I think, you know, a good example, just not to call anybody out here, but I think for as talented and as productive as a player like the reigning NL MVP, Ronald Acuna Jr. has been, I think on the other side of the coin, there's a lot of people that don't like the antics when he is in a slump at times. You know, he's had some rough points there in this season already. And he kind of wears that struggle sort of, you know, on his shirt, right? And it's the same thing when he's running hot and things are going really well. he can do some things that really upset the opposition, opposing fans, just general fans throughout the game. I don't think Bryce Harper is all that different in a lot of ways, especially when he was a younger player. I think we've seen him mature a little bit, and you know, his place and standing in Philadelphia is different than it was in his early years in Washington. So I think we see that a lot too among the most talented players, that you know, there's still things that they do that I think bother some people of a certain mindset. And that it's not always wrong. Some of the stuff they do can still, I think, bother the most, you know, objective, rational person. And, you know, we know that people get caught up in the heat of the moment. And then there's, you know, other things where a guy can do everything right in the field. And, you know, I think back to maybe like, or be real hard-nosed and maybe even kind of dirty guy like Lenny Dykstra or somebody, you know, nails, where I think like a lot of people would love to have that guy in their team. You know, he's one of those guys you love to root for and you love to root against when he's not on your team, right? No, that transcends sports. Claude Lemieux in hockey was a guy like that. Pat Verbeek in hockey was a guy like that. I think about, you know, there's plenty of football players over the years, a guy like Bart Scott or Terrell Suggs, right? If he was a Patriot, I would love those guys, right? James Harrison, when he was a Patriot, you love that guy. You hated him when he was a Steeler. I think there's some of that too, you know? But at the same time, Lenny Dykstra off the field, whew, you don't even want to touch that, right? And so on and so forth. There's all these sort of almost like archetypes in between, you know, just within this conversation of the types of problems off the field. And, you know, not everybody is, we'll say, Tom Brady or Derek Jeter, where on the field, at work, they're just so professional, you know. And sometimes maybe I think, especially with in Brady's case, there's maybe been a lack of like balance on maybe other parts of his life.
Yeah, but I think that's the, you know, that's why they're the 0.1%, the 0.1% of the 1%, you know, and that's why not everybody is the 0.1% of the 1%. I mean, there's so many guys out there that have been uber talented that, you know, people have knocked like, oh man, if he just had a little bit of work ethic, you know, and I mean, and again, like the guys that we're talking about here, we're going to keep it the professionals. If we're going to drop names, and they've made millions of dollars and they're supremely talented and they got there for a reason and they got their money for a reason. Right. But like, you look at a guy like Percy Harvin just kind of like rolls out of bed. I mean, there's stories that have come out on the internet. He used to play, you know, play games on Sunday high, you know, I don't know. Like when it comes to like a guy like Percy Harvin, it's like, man, that's the kind of guy that just kind of rolls out of bed. It's like, ah, did he even sleep last night? Whatever, puts the helmet on and he's faster than everybody on the field. And it's like, there are guys that are like so in tune with every little bit of their routine and they work so hard and they try so hard. And Percy Harvin just goes out there and runs circles around him. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's what we're talking about here with this conversation about talent doesn't discriminate. It's like, you may not like the fact that this guy doesn't try or have to try or have to work for it or whatever, but like, that's just what it is. That's just what it is, Jeff. Like, the guy is supremely talented. He was blessed. Like, it's not always going to be the guy. And this is, you know, kind of crossing back over to the amateur side. And, you know, I hear this a lot. It's like, it's not always going to be the kid that works the hardest. It's not always going to be the kid that comes from the good family where you love the parents and the kid's super polite and he's the best teammate. And I feel like there are kids that are really talented that are subject to a lot of discourse because they're not those things that I just mentioned.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe they're not the best teammate, or maybe, you know, they come from a household where there's a little bit of entitlement or whatever. And it's like, look, I don't know what to tell you. The kid's talented. You may not love the fact that like he's got a little bit of a silver spoon in his mouth, but the fact of the matter is this kid's going to go somewhere, right? Like, we can have our opinions on Max Clark. I think everybody under the sun has their opinions on Max Clark, right? The bottom line is Max Clark, barring something ridiculous, is going to be a 10-year big leaguer, and he's going to be a really good big leaguer, right? Yeah. Like, he's got all the tools to do that, right? Now, he may think that he's, you know, going to be Mike Trout someday, and that might not be the case. It's probably an unrealistic expectation. I'm not going to be the one here to tell him that. I'm probably going to end up on his next pair of cleats just sitting here talking about him.
I know, right?
He's probably got like an AI bot that's like, scan the internet for whenever my name is. Anyway, the bottom line is he's got a big league career ahead of him, you know, as long as he does everything the right way, and he's going to make a lot of money playing this game. And I think there's a lot of people out there that aren't happy about that because of the way he went about his business as an amateur and the way that he continues to go about his business in building a brand. I think, Jeff, in this, and I'm not trying to draw a parallel between Max Clark and Trevor Bauer, two completely different people, but the way that they went about their business and building a brand, Trevor Bauer was kind of that first player in baseball to go about building a brand. And before any of the stuff came out with Trevor Bauer, you know, that has since become a very hot button topic. Like, there were people that just didn't like Trevor Bauer because he was outspoken and he built his own platform and he built his own following and whatever it was, even if it was at that point mostly harmless, right? And again, to all the people out there that didn't like Trevor Bauer before all this happened, like, talent doesn't discriminate. Sorry about it. You know what I mean? Like, talent chose that guy. That's the point.
Yeah. And I think it's even more prevalent at the youth level and the amateur level because, you know, the shit hasn't sort of hit the fan yet. Like, I think that's what happens with a guy like Percy Harvin. That does happen with Josh Hamilton. That does happen with Eddie Lacy, where they don't have the careers that they could have or should have had based on that talent because they didn't do the part that you need to do once you get up to the highest levels. There's very few guys that, you know, were wild off the field that led these crazy lives that didn't put in the work, right? That had really long, good careers. Off the top of my head, I can't think of too many. Michael Irvin's career should have been longer than it was. You know, Antonio Brown's career. And I think he, to be built the way he is, he must have put in the work, right? He must have worked hard. But the other stuff caught up to him, right? Like, eventually that stuff catches up to you. And there's numerous examples. For some reason, I keep on going back to football players, but I think that's just like America and, but like Hamilton's a good one. Hamilton had an insane amount of talent, was able to overcome some of that adversity, then got paid, saw more adversity, and sort of reverted back to some of the issues that he had previously. Like, I think, you know, you pound for pound, that's one of the most talented players that I've probably watched over the last 25 years, just as a hitter. There were things that he was able to do. He should have had a Hall of Fame career. He should have been Bryce Harper. There's no reason he shouldn't have had a Bryce Harper like esque career, you know, but, you know, it doesn't always work out that way. And I think that's the thing that you see at the youth level, though, is it's really frustrating for parents because you can't have that kid who's a respectful, you know, apple pie American kid that just does all the right things. You know, coaches like him, teachers like him. He's respectful to his teammates, works hard, and he might be the second or third best player on the team. And the best player on the team might be one of these just gifted guys that, you know, rolls out of bed. Sometimes these guys don't even like the sport they're playing that much, right? Where it's just like, all right, I like playing the games, right? Right. I like being in the games, like Allen Iverson. I you know, practice, like, it, that stuff maybe doesn't matter as much, but they show up, and when they need to make plays, they do, because they're just so naturally better than everybody else around them, right? So, like, the shit hasn't sort of hit the fan for them yet. And it may not, it might be at that next level in college, depending upon the talent level. It might not be until they're a pro, you know. But I think, like, often you see the guys that have attitude issues or off the field issues sort of don't work. Now, I was thinking about this before we got on, and I haven't mentioned this to you, but the other part of it is, I think that with different sports, there are different mentalities that work and don't work. And I think that there are certain mentalities that are unique to baseball that aren't necessarily going to work in a bigger team dynamic, whether it be particularly hockey and football are the ones that sort of stick out to me. I think basketball, there's maybe some crossover with baseball because it's just, there's two or three dominant players on the court that control everything. Right. Where with baseball, like, you can kind of be a little aloof, like, you can kind of not necessarily be a great teammate and be Manny Ramirez or be Alex Rodriguez. You don't have to be that rah-rah locker room guy because you don't really necessarily move as a unit and have to cover the guys around you the way that you do in football or the way that you have to in hockey. Like there's not that sort of like cohesive unit movement in baseball. Other than even defensively, it's really just one or two players interacting with each other in a given moment, in a split second, right? Where if you're a pitcher, you can kind of be a little different than you can be in other sports, right? Like you can be a little bit whacked out. And sometimes it's almost a benefit. Being arrogant in baseball, I think to a degree, plays more of a benefit. That guy that wants to, at the youth level, carry the ball up and down the court and not pass and take 90% of the shots, that works in baseball, you know? Like, because you are sort of up there alone, acting on your own 98% of the time in this game.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. That's why I use Indeed for our hiring at Baseball America. It allows me to do everything on one website. I get quality candidates. I can schedule them. I can interview them. I can screen them. I can send messages to them, all within Indeed. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, selfishness doesn't really get in the way in the way that you're referencing selfishness, which is like selfishness on the field to want to make the play, you know, as opposed to, I mean, obviously there's selfish things that can get in the way on a baseball team, but I mean, specifically talking about actions on the field, because it's a lot of, you know, like you said, one-on-one. I mean, baseball is pretty much just a one-on-one sport that just happens to have a team of defenders standing out there with gloves, hoping that something happens behind them. But I want to go back to something that you said about like a lot of these guys don't even enjoy playing the sport. Like, again, that's another thing that could really get under someone's skin if they coach amateur players or they're around amateur players, is the fact that like, yeah, that's the reality of it. Like, I mean, we all love the kid that's like a baseball nut. He knows baseball history. I think there was like a clip of there's a kid at Duke. You remember that? He was the kid, the Little League World Series kid. Mm-hmm. And he could name off the top of his head, I think it was like every World Series champion team going all the way back to the first World Series. Like they like gave him a year and he named the team that won the World Series. I mean, we love those kids, right? We love the kids that know the history of the game, baseball rats. They live, breathe, eat baseball, right? But then like, you know, I remember back summer of 2014, Cape Cod Baseball League. I was an intern with the Harwich Mariners. There was a player on the team at the time, LSU. Danny Zardone. I don't know if you know the name Danny Zardone. You probably don't. Danny Zardone did not like playing baseball. He hit 305 that summer on the Cape. He did not like playing baseball. We were sitting around a fire in a backyard one night after a game, and he was sitting there, and he was like, he told me straight up, he's like, I don't even like playing baseball. He's like, I like playing soccer better. Like, I wish I could play soccer. He was a Florida kid.
Yeah.
Like, all right. And then I remember it was like 2 years later. He wasn't at LSU anymore. He transferred to Nova Southeastern, which is a Division II powerhouse. And it was my first year at USA Baseball, and the D2 College World Series is in Cary at the USA Baseball Complex, or at least it was. I don't know if it still is or not. And he was playing for Nova Southeastern, and I remember going out there and watching him play. And it was like his first at-bat of the game. Like, he just absolutely annihilated a baseball. And if you've ever played – or seen baseball played at the stadium field in Cary, like, that place is a graveyard. Like, however far he hit that ball, he hit it twice as far than it actually went. He pimped the hell out of it. And he had a really nice year that year at Nova Southeastern. Let's see what it was. .315, 14 home runs, eight stolen bases. Ended up 17th round pick of the Phillies, played a couple years of pro ball, and obviously, you know, didn't end up panning out. But like, that's the kid, especially like in, you know, like Danny Zardone, like South Florida kid, certain level of entitlement, doesn't even like playing baseball, happens to be good at it. Like, that's the kid that just drives people nuts. You know what I mean? But again, talent doesn't discriminate. I do want to flip over to, you know, maybe less so about like the entitlement or the arrogance or whatever it is. There's this other thing that an amateur player may get knocked for, which I think is unfortunate. But it's like, oh, he doesn't have it between the ears, or like he's a little bit of a head case, or he's a little bit insecure, those types of things, right? And like when I hear that about like a talented 16, 17, 18-year-old, or even like I've heard it about younger players too, 14, 15-year-old, whatever it is, it's like, man, you know, like that's it. One, it's like it's tough to hear where you're coming from, but also at the same time, like, Jeff, there are examples of guys who played in the big leagues who had a lot of success that maybe weren't all there between the years. You know what I mean? So like that's one where it's like, that's more unfortunate because it's not so much about the kid's demeanor. It's more so about like just kind of how he's wired.
Sure.
But yeah, like there are kids out there that are very talented and like, they're a little bit of a mess upstairs, you know, insecurity, whatever it might be, anxiety. And there will be like parents or coaches or whatever that knock a kid for that. And I'm just sitting here, I'm like, look, you may not want to hear it, but, you know, there are some guys that have had a lot of success at the big league level. I'm not going to call any of them out by name, but, you know, and it's not say that they had the longest careers or whatever it was. Maybe they came in and out of performing because of the things that were going on upstairs, but they were so talented that it got them there. Right. Like I remember hearing a story a couple of years back, my buddy, hitting coordinator for a major league organization. He had a very highly ranked prospect who had just been traded to his organization in the cage. And like Jeff, the way it was described to me, he went in there and he had like 15 swings, 10, 15 swings. And it was like the equivalent of, you know, like 100 plus exit right on the barrel, line drive, high back of the cage, every swing, just whap, 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 whap. Came out of the cage and every time needed validation. Legitimately didn't know if that was good, right? It was like he was so out of touch with reality that like he didn't see the other guys he was hitting with not doing anything close to what he was doing, but he needed that validation, right? And this is in AAA. Then he goes on and he has a big league career for a handful of years and he has some success. And now he's, I think, around 30 years old and he's not in the game anymore, or maybe he's still trying to play or what, but he's not in the big leagues anymore. But the bottom line is like that guy, as much of a mess as he was between the ears, was still able to go play in the TV league and have success. Despite, you know, like I think it was, I mean, the way it was described to me, it sounded like a self-confidence issue, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I mean, you're never really going to bet on the kid, you know, you're never really going to bet on the kid who lacks self-confidence, are you? Well, no, there are kids that lack self-confidence that go and have good big league careers too. So,
yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, there's all different types. But I don't know if that guy necessarily bothers the bigger group. But it could be something where, like, I think as an evaluator, you hear a lot of that stuff behind the scenes.
Yeah, I don't think it necessarily bothers like fans. I don't think it necessarily bothers. Like, I think fans are more, if they knew about those types of things, they'd probably root for the guy harder. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of like what Jaren Duran, you know, he's been very, you know, wearing his emotions on his sleeve and, you know, kind of sharing his story on his sleeve, going back like Kevin Love in basketball did the same thing. He's just being very outspoken about, you know, what's going on upstairs, you know, and like the anxiety that comes along with playing the game and potentially depression and all the, you know, just the roller coaster of emotions of, you know, having to play on TV every night, right? Yeah. And I think that like Jaren Duran has grown maybe more of a following, or people have drawn a closer connection, because it reveals a little bit of like how human these guys are. I mean, I think that's something that a lot of people forget, is that they're all human. And that's kind of why we're having this conversation, is talent doesn't discriminate. And like, there are a lot of flaws to being a human being. Not necessarily, I'm not, you know, saying any one of these things is, it's just what it is. I've got flaws. You've got flaws. We've all got flaws. You know, none of us are perfect. Right. And I think when people share the things that make them imperfect, I think that's the opportunity to draw a closer connection with that person. Cause, oh, it's like, oh, I've got a commonality. Like, look, this guy's a superhero. He plays on TV and he wears a number on his back and, you know, gets paid millions of dollars, but he's just like me in this capacity. Anyway, all of that to say, I think it does bother a certain subset, Jeff. I think there's a little bit of bother when it's, that's the kid who's talented and he's playing on the same team as my son, and they're both 14, and my son works really hard and loves baseball, and, you know, this kid's like a little bit of a wreck, but he's clearly more talented. I think that's a bother on a lot of amateur baseball fields around this country.
Yeah.
I know we're texting with Pierce yesterday about how everything has become so outcome dependent when it comes to, you know, playing baseball or travel sports, that they're not just playing, no one's playing baseball to just play baseball anymore. It's there's such like an investment angle on it, where it's like, okay, I'm paying for my 11 or 12 year old to play with the assumption that at some point he's going to get an opportunity to play college baseball or professional baseball. And that's just not the case. And I think that's kind of what breeds some of these toxic opinions. I don't know if it ever gets back to the player. I don't know if it ever gets back to the player's family. I'm sure it does in a lot of cases, because everybody talks, right? I'm just saying, Jeff, that there's something out there that I think is important to get out there. And if you're a parent of a player and you hear this, don't, it's way easier to be a part of the gossip than to kind of throw up the wall and don't be part of the gossip, but don't swirl the gossip around on a 14, 15, 16 year old player. Just don't do it. Don't put your little spoon in the coffee cup and twirl it around and contribute. You know what I mean? Like Jeff, that's happening everywhere, not just in baseball, probably in sure, every sport, you know, where it's every like,
thing.
Yeah, there's a group chat of these six or seven parents that are, you know, thick as thieves, and they're talking about, you know, the kid and the parents of, and the kid and his parents that, you know, is the most talented player on the team and doesn't care, or, you know, has whatever hang up that they don't particularly like. I don't know. Interesting topic, Jeff. Talent doesn't discriminate. Interesting topic.
Absolutely. Anything else you wanted to dive in on this topic, or do you want to put a pin in it for this week?
Probably put a pin in it. Probably come back to it at some point.
Yeah.
It'll probably come up just like everything else does in future. Yeah.
It's like the exposure funnel. Everything just, you know, compiles one on top of each other.
It's, yeah, we're accumulating topics, and as we, you know, have future topics, we like to, you know, drop back in and reference our old topics.
Yeah.
Which, Jeff, if that means, the only thing that means really is that anybody who's listening needs to listen every episode to keep up with what we're talking about.
That's what it is, you know. It all fits together and dovetails nicely. But this has been another episode of the 90th Percentile. For Jeff, for Matt, thanks for tuning in, guys.